to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show hell hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, live with you today, conducting the orchestra, ready to get into scriptures. However, some sad things have happened in the last couple of days that I'm going to share with you. It's just some people that I know that have had some tragic things happen in their life. Every year we get invited up to or down to Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Pastor Jamie Doyle and his wife Chrissy are there. His dad Ellis Doyle has been in the ministry since the early disciples, I think. He's just been around a long time. Anyway, Pastor Jamie's daughter miscarried after about 20 weeks. And of course, you know, we've been through something similar with that with our granddaughter Adeline, who was born to term, but she had a diaphragmatic hernia. The layer that's supposed to separate the lungs and the heart from the bowels and the stomach, there was a hole there, and the bowels were pushing up into the heart-lung area and didn't allow the heart and lungs to develop properly. She lived about 5 weeks, and then she died. And it was a very difficult time for us. This was back in 2012. So anyway, you know, to Pastor Jamie and his wife Chrissy and all of their family, to his daughter and her husband, who they had to go ahead and induce labor on her the other day in order to bring the baby out, because there was no heartbeat. That they just lost the heartbeat. And so our heart and our prayers and tears go out for them. They are wonderful, wonderful family, good friends of ours, and we love them very much. And you know, the wonderful thing about babies is that they're always safe, and no matter what happens to them, they are safe. And we know this from scripture. We know it from what David said concerning his son that was born of Bathsheba, the first one. He said, "I shall go to him, he shall not come to me." We also know, according to what God said in the book of Numbers, that the little ones who knew not, who could not put difference between good and evil, or had not the knowledge of good and evil, God was not holding them accountable for rejecting the account of Joshua and Caleb, who came back from Canaan land and said, "We ought to go in there." God clearly is telling us that there is an age at which a child is safe. And I personally believe that that is right around the time a child begins to recognize their own nakedness. You know, little babies run around naked, boys and girls, they run around naked, and we think that's so cute. And but at some point, the child doesn't want to come out of the bathroom anymore naked. And that sets in them at a certain age. And I believe that at about that time, that's the age of what we call accountability. And so anyway, the blessing of babies is that they're always safe. And this baby is at home with Jesus. Some old friends of ours also. I was kind of taken aback. I mentioned this during the church service last night, that some old members, former members of Bethel from years gone by, Dick and Betty Boyer, we have remained friends with them for all these years. Good Christian family, loves the Lord. They both ended up with COVID, and they had moved Dick into Betty's room. And both of them passed away last night. They were both holding hands as their beds were together. And I thought that was pretty neat. I have asked God to, you know, let me die on the same day my wife does. I don't want to live without her. She doesn't want to live without me. And what a way to go. But they are in heaven now. And, you know, they've got several children. We are praying for them and all of their grandchildren and family members and so on, fellow church members. Just pray for them and lift them up in your prayers, if you would, please. And then I found out this morning, an old adversary of mine, and I'm going to say this, I don't mind having adversaries. I don't wish death upon them, though. A man's always going to have his nemesis, his enemies. He's always going to have somebody that disagrees with just about everything he says. And that's who Rob Skiba was. Those of you who remember him from days gone by, he and I had done a conference together. He had asked me to maybe do some programs with him, and I quickly found out what some of his doctrine was, and I said, I don't think so. And I was pretty outspoken against him. He became sort of Hebrew roots, and then he went flat earth. And I was told by two different sources today that he died of a massive heart attack. And he was, I believe, that he was actually younger than me, I think. And so to Mr. Skiba's family, certainly our prayers are with you. Whatever disagreements in life that we had with each other, those are over with now. And so just pray for the Skiba family as they go through this tragic loss. I don't know if this was something ongoing with him. I don't know if he knew he had a bad heart or what. I don't know. I haven't followed him. I haven't mentioned his name in quite a long time. So just a lot of people to pray for, a lot of things to keep in mind and keep in mind that it is appointed unto man once to die. I have other adversaries, and one of them is a lady that I mentioned to you that I met at the MUFON conference. And no, it doesn't mean that we're appointed once to die, and then once more to die, and then once more to die, and then once more to die. It doesn't mean that. It means we're going to die once, and that's it. And after this, the judgment. And so I would recommend to everybody, as my mother would say, make sure you're paid up and prayed up. Make sure your bills are paid. Make sure your prayers are going up into heaven. And so just pray for all these families. And they're lost. In our own church, Brother Chris and Sister Helen Mangan and their daughter Megan, Sister Helen's sister, passed away. And they had a small little service for her yesterday. And so continue to pray for them. Also, we had just an interesting visitor yesterday. A man came by. We're used to having homeless people come by, and we're also used to having people looking for drugs coming, you know, through our parking lot because there's someone in our vicinity that is selling drugs out of their house. And I didn't know which one it was. I saw him come to the front door. He was dropped off, and then I saw him go around to the back door, so I went around to the back door, and he instantly said, "Pastor Mike!" And I wasn't expecting that. Usually they say, can I speak to the pastor? And it's usually you're asking for money. Well, he never did. He never asked for anything. But his name was Anthony. And he had listened to me for several years and was, I think, brought to the Lord and brought to the King James Bible. But there was, let me deal with this. I'm going to kind of continue what I did Tuesday, is going through the Genesis numbers. But I want you to take your Bibles. You know what I'll do? I'll put it up on the screen for you. I feel nice today. I feel like being nice and friendly and loving today and forgiving today and all those things. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me press this button and then this button. 1 Peter chapter 2. It talks about Christ, the living stone. That's where the name Livingston comes from. Dr. Livingston, I presume. To whom coming as unto a living stone, meaning Christ, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. It means that men will always not use Christ. They will disallow him. They'll pick through him. You know, stonemasons, bricklayers, or whatever, they're going through a pile of rocks, and they look at this particular rock, and they say, "I can't use that. It's whatever." And so they chunk it away. But that's the stone that they need to use for their cornerstone, and it's not the capstone at the top of a pyramid. Don't believe that lie. It is a cornerstone, and it's been tried, the Bible says. That is a stonemason's term. It is tried and true. It means that that corner is exactly 90 degrees, which is, it's not easy to do. If you're an unskilled stonemason, it's not easy to make a 90 degree stone. But that 90 degree cornerstone set on the corner foundation will determine the size of all the rest of the walls. That one right there, that first one right there, will determine how that building's going to turn out. If you don't have that one right, the rest of the building won't be right. So anyway, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, what he told me was, I just fell in love with this man. And he was brought to tears last night during the service, and I want you to pray for him. He said that he got offended at something in the Bible. And he didn't really want to tell me, but I sort of made him. I said, I want to know what it was that offended you. And I'm going to paraphrase it, and I don't know exactly where it is, but I do know it's there. If a man's out in the field and he sees a young maiden, you know, teenage girl, whatever, unmarried, and they have a rendezvous, the man has to pay for this girl because he has pretty much by that act chosen her as his wife, and he must pay a dowry to the daughter's father for the rights to have this woman, if I'm remembering it correctly. Well, he took offense at that, you know, here this poor girl got raped and all that, and I don't think it was like that. And I explained to him, I said, number one, you know, we don't know the Jews, we don't know their customs, we don't know them as people 4,000 years ago. And I said, you know, I may not totally understand why God said it a particular way, but here's what I've determined in my heart. I've determined that I will not be offended and stumble at the word. So he says in verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief corner stone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And I told him this. I said, I'm not being mean to you, but you know, you sought me out. You asked somebody. You was at Walmart parking lot, and he said, he asked somebody there, do you know where Bethel Church is? Can you give me a ride over there? And he sought me out. And I told him, I said, let me share this with you. Since you told me that you got ticked off at God, angry over something you read in the Bible that you don't like, let me share this with you. I said, if you are obedient to God and love Him, you'll say these rules. Rule number one, there are no mistakes in the Bible. Rule number two, if someone says they found a mistake in the Bible, refer to rule number one. There are no mistakes in the Bible. And that's what 1 Peter chapter 2 is telling you. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. This Bible is precious to me. And I refuse to stumble or be offended at any of the words of this book. But unto them which be disobedient. See, sin does that. Sin does that to a person. It causes them to find stumbling stone verses in the Bible. It causes them to the Bible to be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to them. They are offended at the word. And they'll quit coming to your church over it. They will. They'll just stop coming. They may find another church that uses all these different Bibles and won't touch this because they don't want to offend anybody. Because they're getting a pretty good budget going here. They may not offend anybody there. But still the fact remains they are offended because they're disobedient. And the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. Now I prayed with him outside yesterday. Lisa and I left. We did run a few errands on Wednesday. We always do the same thing. And then we bought him some KFC. And he had a precious dog with him. That's just, you know, me and you and a dog named Blue. Only whoever the you is wasn't there. It's just him and his dog, Caroline. And, you know, good-natured dog. And fed him some chicken from KFC and just visited with him and was very kind to him and invited him to church. And he said he wanted to stay for church anyway, and he did. And I preached to him. I prayed over him last night. And again, I want you to pray for him. He's got to be back in Springfield, I think, for a job. But his life, he knows where home plate is. That's a baseball term. He knows where he needs to be. And he knows it's going to be a rough road getting back there. Because for the last 6 years, he's allowed a lot of sin into his life. So you pray for him. You pray for Anthony and lift him up, and that God would show him how to come back. God, in fact, God will lead him all the way. God will lead him all the way, I guarantee you. All right, now, back at the ranch, Genesis chapter 3, we were looking at this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. That was a lie. Remember, women in the Bible represent churches, a type of church. This church lies. This church lies about what God said, adding to God's word, adding rules to God's word. We may eat of the fruit of the trees, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye should not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. But God didn't say that, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That is a contradiction of what God said. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes. That's the 33rd word of that, of the words that Satan said. That's the 33rd one of them. Eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, 1, 2, 3 things that she saw in Genesis 3. It's what she saw. The devil, and I've made a point of this, the devil never said to her, why don't you go over there and take a bite of it? Why don't you go over there and eat of it? Why don't you go over there and touch it? Put it in your hand, squeeze it. He never said anything like that. What he did was draw her eyes over toward it, and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life took over. And that's exactly what happened. That's what James mentioned. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These things are not of God, but are of the world. Three, every sin fits into one or several of these three categories. Every sin. That's okay, that's lust of the eyes. That's lust of the flesh. That's lust of both. That's the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. That's the pride of life over there. And all three things are in us. Brother Reg Kelly called me. It might have been Tuesday. Lisa bought some mums out in Indiana for me to plant. And I was digging up a bunch of old stuff out of our flower bed and was pulling up those stupid thistles. What, I hate those things. And he called me while I'm out there pulling them out. He asked me what I was, he just called to encourage me. And I said, Reg, I hate these things. I said, I've been pulling them out of this same dirt now for 20 years. And I said, why didn't they grow all at once one year and meet? I could get them out all at once in one year. And he said, that's how it is, isn't it? I said, that's exactly how it is. They don't all pop out all at the same time, so I can get them all out. And I said, that's my stupid sin. Doesn't all show up at once so I can get rid of it all? Shows up a little bit over time. He said, it's in the dirt, isn't it? I said, that's exactly right. It's in my dirt. It's in us. So now think about the meaning then of the number three. We can say the Godhead, yes. Resurrection, yes. But think about it. Who is the... You have, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Three. He's the God of the living. All right? And the Godhead is three. the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, but the third son of Jacob was Levi. The third book of the Bible is Leviticus, named after Levi. Third book is named after the third son. All of these books are in order. Perfect order, people. And Leviticus happens to have, how many chapters does it have? 27. That's 3 times 3 times 3. And the meaning of the book of Leviticus, the purpose behind it, is to show it was the law of sacrifices. It showed what had to be sacrificed, how it had to be sacrificed, you know, everything about a sacrifice is in the third book of the Bible, Leviticus, in those 27 chapters, and they're a foreshadow of the new covenant. So you skip forward, you have 39 books in the Old Testament, that's 13 times 3. So you get to the New Testament, and you have Christ who begins his ministry at 30 years old, becomes 33 and a half years old. We know that because of the Passovers. Becomes 33 years old, is sold for 30 pieces of silver, is nailed on a cross and lifted up between two other transgressors. How many crosses are there on Golgotha? There's 3 because he was numbered with the transgressors. Numbered with them. 1, 2, 3. What's the last words that he said? It is finished. Boom. It was over with. But then what happens? He rose again on the third day, just like he said he would. So, I mean, all these numbers match. Eve was guilty of violating those 3 things in us, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and especially the pride of life. We don't want to do certain things. Ask yourself why. It's a pride thing. It's not as godly as you think it is. I'm not even going to tell you what I'm talking about either, because some of you go, there he goes again. Now, Genesis chapter 4. This is a good one. We have the story in our Bible of written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And all 4 of those deal with the death, the murder of Jesus Christ. Pictorialized, symbolized here by Abel. Abel was innocent. Cain was the guilty one who was jealous over his brother, that his brother was receiving blessings from God, but he wasn't. And Satan wants to sit on God's throne and rule from God's throne, but God's not going to allow him to do it. But he's going to try, and he thinks that if he can kill the only begotten Son of God, that will grant him the right to be able to sit on the throne of God. Remember what he said, I will be like the Most High. And so in Genesis chapter 4, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. Now, where, I'm asking some of you a question. Where do you see in verse 1 where the serpent had anything to do with Cain's conception? I'll wait for this answer. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. It's not there, is it? It's not there. Some people interject it in there, interpose it in there, jam it in there, slam it in there with a sledgehammer, force it in there, but it's not there. It says very plainly, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And I say that because there are some racist people who say that all the Cainites are the children of the devil. And the children of the devil, they all deserve to die. So we gonna kill them all. And it's basically, what they mean by that is, oh, that seed of Cain? Well, that's real easy to spot. That's all the black people. And all them Jews. Get rid of all the black people and all the Jews, and all of a sudden we don't have no problems in this world. I'm just telling you how some people still believe. They still believe this way. I don't. Because every kindred, nation, tongue, tribe is going to be around the throne of Jesus Christ with palm branches in their hands. Could I get somebody to say amen? Stupid thing. See, they want to have Cain surviving the flood somehow, like Russell Crowe's movie about Noah. They want to have Cain or his seed surviving the flood somehow. And it be the seed of the serpent. And so they can identify certain races as being the seed of the serpent. And only us Caucasians, white Anglo-Caucasians, only us are worthy of salvation because we're white Anglos. I've seen all that. I've studied all that. It's bogus. It's nonsense, has no reality in Scripture whatsoever. None whatsoever. So Genesis 4 is not the skinhead's handbook that they want you to think it is. It's not it. It is showing you the simplicity of the gospel. How that, verse 2, again, she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the first rent. Now, what is the difference? What is the difference between Cain's offering to God and Abel's offering to God? Well, I can tell you back in Genesis 3, the way God said it, he said, okay, who told thee that thou was naked? And this is going to happen to you, and this is going to happen to you. And this is going to, and he said, unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to me. Yep, know all about that. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. So it doesn't make sense to have that interpretation that the seed of Cain is all the black people, all the Latinos, the Hispanics, the Chinese people, and the fake Jews, and everybody. It doesn't wash. Doesn't mean anything. But anyway, Cain's sacrifice, I believe, rejected by God. Partly, I believe, because Cain was drawing from the ground and sacrificing from the ground, which was cursed. Abel, however, brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, it may also have to do with the faith of both Cain and Abel, whereas Abel may have said one week, Father, I have forgotten to bring in my sacrifice. Will you forgive me? While Cain said, Lord, I brought my sacrifice. I got plenty here. We'll burn it all for you. I think Abel had grace. The Bible plainly says that Cain's deeds were wicked, where Abel's deeds were righteous and good. And God would have mercy on him because of that. So in verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, there his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? Thy voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Art now thou accursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand? Now, take that. That little story there, and let's go over to Revelations 17. I think there's a connection here. I believe there is. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth had committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, And when the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken. Here it is. She's drunken with the harlots and abominations of the earth. And how drunk does a woman have to get, or let's say a person have to get, when they get drunk off the blood of human beings? That's kind of sick, isn't it? Drinking the blood of an animal is grotesque enough. I don't care what your tradition is. Yeah, after we kill a deer, we cut it open, we drink the blood out of the heart. Really? What do you do that for? Well, it's our tradition. It makes you... My dad never taught me that one. Thanks, Dad. I appreciate it. Thank you for not doing that. I didn't teach it to my boys either. Anyway. Verse 9. The Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I his babysitter? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. You see, I think for the first time, Mystery Babylon got a taste of blood and said, Ooh, this is good, and oh, how it makes me feel. That's what I think happened. Because Babylon has been bloodthirsty ever since then, and she's been thirsty over the blood of the innocents, the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs for Jesus Christ. That's what I think. So you see a proto-gospel here. You have Cain, who is of that wicked one, and he slew Abel, whose deeds were righteous, whose sacrifice was accepted by God. You see that. You see the blood spilled on the ground. The ground opened up to receive his brother's blood. That's what happened at Golgotha. That when Jesus was thrust with the spear and the water and the blood came forth, then the earth opened her mouth in an earthquake. And clamped down on the blood that had poured out of our Savior's side. Very interesting. Genesis 5. The number for death. This is the book of the generations of Adam. And the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. And he blessed them and called their name Adam. In the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, called his name Seth. And in the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 830 years, and he begat sons and daughters. How many? It doesn't tell us. Verse 5, and all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So we have Adam mentioned five times here, and every time Adam is mentioned, all the way down to the last mentioning here in the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Boom, he's gone. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Incidentally, notice how Genesis 5 starts out. This is the book of the generations of Adam. So if you want to go to the 930th chapter of the Bible, that's how old Adam was. Chapter 930, right here. Matthew chapter 1. Look how it starts, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. The son of David, the son of Abraham. I love it. Just think about how hard it would be to make all the chapters work out just right so that from Adam you go to Christ in 930 chapters. Think about how hard that would be if you had to do this by hand without a computer. Think about how difficult it would be. Nothing's hard for God. Nothing is. Now, let's go back to Genesis 5. The book of the generations of Adam. So Adam, we have a pattern. Adam's mentioned five times and he died. Then we have Seth being mentioned, verse 3, 4, not mentioned in verse 5, 6, 7, verse 8 he's mentioned. That's the fifth time Seth is mentioned in verse 8. All the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And you can do that with everybody. Enos lived 90 years. Begat Canaan. Enos has been mentioned here, here, and here. So we have 1, 2, 3. And all the days of Enos. And 4, Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. That's the fourth one. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. That's five times. And it's the same thing with Canaan. He begat Canaan. Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years. Skips Canaan in verse 11 and verse 12. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. It's five times. So everybody, with the exception of Enoch, breaks the mold, or follows that same mold. They get mentioned five times, and the fifth time they're mentioned, they die. Boom, they're gone. But something happens with Enoch. Enoch is there to break that mold. Let's pick it up with verse 18. And Jared lived after 162 years and begat Enoch. Guys, how would you like to be 162 years old and finally have your first child? Are you kidding me? I'd be way too old by then. Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years. And okay, so we have Enoch mentioned in verse 18, Enoch mentioned in verse 19. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And then we have verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and God, and he was not, for God took him. Looks like he broke the pattern there. Something's wrong. What happened to Enoch? Well, let's find out, shall we? Oh no, I'm in the wrong book. Hebrew. Come on, you'll get there. Hebrews 11. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, how do you please God? Verse 6 tells you, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to him, or he that cometh to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do you please God? Well, we can't do it in our flesh. It's not possible that we can do it in our flesh. It's only possible to do it in the workings of our soul. And it's in our soul that we believe what God said. We trust God. We read God's word and we say, God, this book is never wrong, and I need this book now more than I ever have. I had a lady who called me last week, and a tragic, tragic thing had happened in her life. And she said, I just need to talk to my pastor. You're my pastor. I just need to talk to somebody. And I said, go ahead. And she said, it was just a tragic thing. But she needed help with leaning on the Holy Spirit and allowing herself to be comforted. And I think I get it. I mean, I do. I think I get it. The idea that, how can I put this? It's almost like we're afraid to put too much trust in God, for fear that he will let us down again, and we won't be able to take it, and we will dismiss ourselves from God's presence, from God's will, God's walk in our life, that we'll walk away from him. I understand that. I really do. But I'm telling you, don't let that Bible be an offense to you. Don't let the rock of the Word of God be a letdown to you. Let it lift you up. Let Jesus be magnified in it. And I promise you, God will magnify you in the end. I'm going to leave a little bit early today. It's good to be with you today. Pray for me. I've still got some work to put together on my sermon for tomorrow night. I'm going to Lake of the Ozark for the Wayne Dinwiddie. So you pray for me as I prepare for that. And then we will see. I think they stream. If you check on sermon audio, Brother Wayne Dinwiddie is his name. And I think they stream on sermon audio. So check out their stream. All right. I think they will be streaming through there Friday night. So just pray for me and pray that I'll have everything ready and bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. I love you. You're the reason why I do what I do. Keep thinking Bible, people.